translation, as a fourth commander very easily conquers invading plunderers by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. Please repeat. As a fourth commander, very easily conquers invading plunderers by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. Of the four orders of human society, the student of Brahmachari order, the householder of the Vihasa order, the retired or Vanaprasa order, and the renounced or Sannyasa order, the householder is on the safe side. The bodily senses are considered plunderers of the fort of the body. The wife is supposed to be the commander of the fort, and therefore, whenever there is an attack on the body by the senses, it is the wife who protects the body from being smashed. The sex demand is inevitable for everyone, but one who has a fixed wife is saved from the onslaught of the sense enemies. A man who possesses a good wife does not create a disturbance in society by corrupting virgin girls. Without a fixed wife, a man becomes a debauchee of the first order and is a nuisance in society. Unless he is a trained brahmachari, vanaprasa or sannyas, unless there is a rigid and systematic training of the brahmachari by the expert spiritual master, and unless the student is obedient, it is sure that the so-called brahmachari will fall prey to the attack of sex. There are many instances of fall downs, even for great yogis like Vishwamitra. A grihastha is saved, however, because of his faithful wife. Sex life is the cause of material bondage, and therefore it is prohibited in three ashrams and is allowed only in the grihastha ashram. The grihastha is responsible for producing first quality brahmacharis, vanapras, and sannyasis. And the purple. Om Nagyanantaranda Chaya Saha Tatsurum Jamma Kutmai Shri Gurave Namah Namah Vishnagadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutade Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kilamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabhani Kachari Ne Ne Vishesh Sambhavani Kastati Kachari Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garada Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This means I surrender. No other hope. Translation again, is the fourth commander very easily conquers invading plunderers by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. In this chapter, pregnancy of Dithi in the evening, this section is discussing the need of the training here, Prabhupada says, and to follow the instructions of the Lord, the Vedas, the spiritual master, the sadhus. But this is human civilization. Otherwise, without that, then it's animal civilization. Human life is meant for austerity. And so it's a life of responsibility. So if the austerity means responsibility, irresponsible people are not austere. So the animals are irresponsible. The animals aren't responsible. But therefore, to live in the animal kingdom is is not very desirable for someone who's a little advanced in consciousness. It's difficult. Animals, they're always eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. That's their main business. That's their only business. And we see that it's not very, we wouldn't like to live in that kind of situation. That it's because without, we'd like the without rules. Nobody likes to follow rules, really. I mean, we didn't come here to follow rules. We came here to express our freedom, to show that we were God, to exhibit that independent nature, that we are the controller, we are the enjoyer. That is why we're here, because we weren't submissive to the will of the Lord in the spiritual world. Otherwise, why are we here? So we had another idea. So this independence, which is manifest in the false ego, there's no such thing as actually independence. The independence is your free will, is your desire. That's all the independence we have. And we have two main focuses. That is, we can focus on Krishna, we can focus on Maya. And that opportunity, and within, if we focus on one or the other, then there's a whole realm of whole life there. So much to enjoy in Maya, so much to enjoy with Krishna. So much fearing also on the other. But when we focus on Maya, then there's because it's temporary situation, it's not satisfying for us, because we're eternal. And the pleasure in Maya is temporary, and it's always followed by trouble. It's always troublesome. And this one is really advanced in the mode of goodness. It either ends in distress, in passion, or suffering in ignorance. In goodness it ends in knowledge. But still, anyway, material world, material life means good follows bad, follows good, follows bad, follows good, like this. It's just all the time this situation. So it's not really satisfying, because we want to be happy all the time. That's why the controlling nature comes out, that we want to control the situation so the problems won't come. We're thinking in the future what will happen. So therefore we make arrangements to prevent the natural calamities and the unnatural ones which we know are going to come, at least the ones we know are going to come, the hunger, heat, cold, sleep, that we prepare for those in advance. So the idea is, because we know there's trouble coming, right? We know we're going to get old, we know we're going to get hungry, we know we're going to get tired, we know we're going to get sick. Okay, we know that's going to happen the way, so we have to prepare to keep these things away. This is defending. But in the spiritual world, that is absent. So when we turn to Krishna, then that's all, that side of it's absent. So in Maya, that's the main focus is defending, because that's where we spend most of our time. Getting warding off the things so we can be peaceful, then we can actually enjoy. But the enjoyment is very flickering. Ultimately, it's illusory for the soul, because the soul actually doesn't touch matter. But it's going on in the mind, so it's an imaginary pleasure. But if that's the world you're living in, then that's real for you. That's real. Maya is real. We heard yesterday. Krishna is real. I mean, the material world is real. The bodies are real. Everything's working. It's all real. The illusion is that we can enjoy this matter. By manipulating matter, we can enjoy it. That enjoyment is only done on the mental platform, actually. The senses are engaged, but that triggers some kind of sensation which is imagined to the mind to be good according to your particular body. In some bodies some things are good, in some bodies the same thing is bad. So it's just more or less that's all going on in the mind. So therefore Therefore, the rules and regulations are meant to save one from just going down into the animal species, the humans. most of the life is like that. It's just eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The human beings here, I'm going to talk about the higher ones, the human beings on this planet are the least entities in number. So we can understand that there's most living entities really misuse their independence because there's so much more facility for them in other species of life. And there's so many more living entities in the other species of life. Why is that? Because they're misusing that the intelligence which is awarded with the human form of life to evolve in and getting out of this samsara altogether, but instead choosing to try to manipulate and control, and therefore falling back into the modes of passionate ignorance and then taking lower births in the lower species. Otherwise, why is there so many other weird human beings are so few compared with the other living entities? So it's obviously that if everything is just karma, everyone is just revolving in higher, lower species and different systems, then it's obviously that the greater number is a result of, we can judge the fruit by the tree. So if many people are in their lower species of life, it means that they haven't given up this so-called independent idea of being the controller and enjoyer. But it's actually a very fearful situation as soon as one turns away from Krishna, because there's only one option, that's Maya. So then when we focus on Maya and try to manipulate Maya for our comfort and our pleasure, then it's all kinds of tribulations are there. So therefore the rules and regulations, that you're going to do it anyway, you're determined to do it, you're determined to try it. Okay, then try it like this, do it this way. This is Krishna's kindness. Do it like this. And if you do it like this, you'll get your pleasure, you'll get what you want, but while you're doing that activity according to my direction, I tell you how to do it, then you'll purify your existence. And gradually you can become free from passion and ignorance and understand what the real, where the real pleasure is, what the real purpose of life is, and go back to Godhead. So that's religion. And if you don't do this, if you don't follow, then really so many hells, thousands of hells you can go on suffering. I was reading in the fifth canto, there's so many varieties of hells. They only mention a few, like 2016 or something, 18 in there. But there's thousands of varieties of hells where you can go to. And it seems like more or less everyone's going to go there. And in Kali Yuga, I don't know if there's a special concession in Kali Yuga that, even for not following your duty, I guess in Kali Yuga there may not, towards the end, Prabhupada said there's hardly any, practically no Brahmins nowadays. A few Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, mainly suited. So the hells are mainly for the higher castes, because the sutras, they're just considered civilized human beings. They're just in that, which is most of us. Outside of that, other people are uncivilized, and Malicha, Yavana, etc. But even by not following the duty, as a Vaishya, Kshatriya, or Sudra, you have to visit some of these hells. So it seems like, there's no way. So I don't know if there is a concession in Kali Yuga, because there are no Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Sudras, and we may be relieved from a lot of those visits. I'm just speculating, I'm just wondering how it's going to work. Or maybe that's, I'm just seeing that, my lifetime is a long time, or Kali Yuga is a long time, but from the perspective of Krishna, or the spiritual thing, it's not long at all. The whole show is only one breath of Vishnu. So, what to speak of one yuga out of thousands and thousands of yugas and cycles of yugas. But in any case, so it otherwise when you. Without restriction, without regulation, then it's just animal life. We wouldn't like that. There's no no responsibility. The animals don't have any responsibility. They don't have any karma. They don't earn any karma. They just use karma. So it's no, that's a life of, that's a freedom. If you want to be free, really free, then become less than a human being, become an uncivilized human being, then you have freedom, because you're not irresponsible. Not that you won't have to suffer. As a human being, you'll have to suffer as a human being if you misuse that, if you become uncivilized, because this is your opportunity. So with this opportunity of the human birth, it comes the responsibility. It comes what we call duty. But really we don't want the duty. Really we don't like duty. So duty means restriction, imposition. Nobody wants imposition. Everyone wants to, if you had a choice, you wouldn't have to. Krishna doesn't have any restrictions, impositions. He does what he wants. So we would like to be like that also. That is the mentality. But then, so without restriction, it becomes animal life. Without responsibility, then it becomes on the animal platform. And it's not very nice, the animal platform. It's just that then it becomes the law of the jungle. Who's the strongest? You have seen those jungle movies, or even here you'll see, maybe you're driving, you'll see a carcass, dead animal. The dogs are there, the jackal, the vultures are in the tree, the crows are there, and everyone has to wait, because you don't see the lions. Everyone has to wait, and when the dogs go, then the vultures come down, and when the vultures go, the crow. But meanwhile, they all have to wait for their enjoyment. That's the law of the jungle. So without following rules and regulations, that's how human civilization will become. It's very exploitative. Who's the most powerful, physically powerful, or manipulative with intelligence, they'll control the situation. This is how the demons control in Kali Yuga. Might makes right. And that is the description given in the 11th canto, how that things will evolve. As the consciousness of the human being starts deteriorating in Kali Yuga. But that, this is, so human life is restriction, responsibility. We don't like it. Krishna says that one who restrains the senses, he doesn't really like to do it. Neither he loses his taste for what we restrict him from, which is forbidden, or that which is not conducive to spiritual life, we have to say no to. You may not lose the taste for that, it's still there. You don't really like this restriction. Right? No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meeting, no gambling. those of us who were born in that situation, those were the goals of life, they were the high points in your life, in your day. That was where you got your, found your shelter and pleasure. Then it seems like a great restriction, because some of us weren't born and we were born as outcasts, as malicious yavanas, and we never had any training as to proper values of human life. The goal is to enjoy it somehow or other. And then they make a society which kind of cooperates. They have their own set of rules to cooperate for the end goal is sense gratification. So then it becomes, so the attachment is there when the senses contact the sense object, then attachment springs up. And then one, especially here, we're focusing on the sex principle here, these slokas about the binding force of sex, which is once one engages in sex life, then the knot tightens of material attachment that tightens, because there's great relief and there's great pleasure there, sense of pleasure. So it's a very highly praised experience. That's why everyone's chasing for it. Everyone does it. So, but by doing that, by feeling that relief, that shelter, and that pleasure, then naturally you're going to become attached to that. Otherwise it's austerity. Life is austerity, because you're actually restraining the senses from the so-called pleasures. So We have two rules, to accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what's unfavorable. So we have our sense gratification. We're not mayavadis or jnanis, but we really restrict the senses like that. We don't do that. We engage our senses in service to Krishna. But this is the actual safety of the process of bhakti. That's why it's the bhakti process is so easy to perform, because you're not actually denying the senses, you're giving the senses scope. But the sense objects are all dovetailed with Krishna. Otherwise it says here, these senses are unconquerable. Why the Grihastha Ashram is the safe place. The household is on the safe side, because there's some license there. So it has in Krishna consciousness, and you can engage the sex activity in Krishna consciousness. So there's but for the other brahmacharis, then it's very, they're on their own. There's no shelter. The senses we can't conquer the senses in the. In the Vanachari, Vanaprasa or Sannyas, you can't engage these senses in sense gratification, which is not permitted in those ashrams. So then it's very difficult, because we've restricted from those things, but at the same time the taste is still there. Krishna says you didn't lose the taste. Maybe you like the medicine, you don't like the restriction. No, you haven't lost the taste, so it's always that natural attraction is always there. So therefore, those ashrams are austere, that is austerity. Whereas the Vihastha ashram is the safe one there. There's some support. Otherwise, if you can't tolerate as a brahmachari or a sannyasi, what are you going to do? Then you have to cause a disturbance in society. But what says here? Unless that training is there, you're going to get smashed. The senses are going to smash you. So very difficult situation. But this is Kali Yuga. Everyone's in the in the same boat. And we're all material world means everyone is placed into a body and struggling with the six senses, including the mind. It's actually a struggle. So therefore one needs, until one has a higher taste, until one actually is getting a taste of Krishna consciousness, Then it's a struggle. Then it's austerity. Once the taste is there, it's not austere. Then you can easily say no to Maya. You happily say no to Maya. But before that, when you've got something better. But before that time, then it's very difficult. When Maya is offering you facility to enjoy, then it's very difficult to tolerate that. So the senses are smashing. They're smashing them all the time. There's no other shelter. So. So therefore, you see, it's actually not an easy life. Either way, because the Grihastha Ashram is also full of dangers. There's a license there, and see the outcome of this just by not following one simple rule of the proper time. And look at the calamities that is caused. There's so many more rules for the Grihastha than all of the other ashrams. A lot more rules to follow, so they have a lot more restriction of freedom in one sense, but they have other facilities on the other side. But in any case, in fact, everyone is struggling with the senses. So everyone and everyone in ISKCON is brahmachari, even if he has this, because we don't have illicit sex. We have sex for children. And that association is there. For Krishna, in the Krishna consciousness, in the Krishna conscious way. So actually we all observe, we're all celibates in ISKCON. that's and that's therefore, because of that struggle, you want some. If there's no, if we don't get a taste from devotional service, then there's that lacking, that feeling, that lacking. The senses are demanding, and the denying. And so therefore, there's a call for love and whatever friendship. You need a friend. You need to have some friends. You need to, if you feel cared for and loved, then that emotional satisfaction, that's better than the demand of the senses, of the sense gratification. You can take shelter there because it's a better feeling and it's more permanent, it's more fine, it's an emotional thing. So you should have friendships and good loving relationships. That's what the call is for. Well, love and friendships and relationships. Oh, so many seminars going on about that. How to, of course, if someone's advanced and if they actually gain the taste from Krishna consciousness, then it's not so necessary for them. But what we see, there's a very, to have it, to come to that platform of Ruchi is also very advanced. You pass an Ardhana Ruchi, become self-realized, then you can be actually satisfied. So that is why we live together in a society of people of the same mindset, that everyone wants to go back to Godhead. We're all trying to follow the rules according to the channels they've given us, and we're all here to encourage each other. So that's why it's much easier in this society, then, because everyone, we see other people are doing so, and we can also tolerate. We take our vows, we take a vow to a husband, wife, or guru, that we follow these things. And if there's some love developed and got good relationship, very nice relationship developed, apart from being some shelter there, you wouldn't want to do it just to hurt, you know, because if you love somebody, you don't want to offend them. So if you don't want to break the regular principles, you should fear that you'll offend the spiritual master whom you love, who's giving you shelter, who's giving you refuge, or your wife, or your husband, or your children, wherever you're finding that refuge. So you wouldn't want to break that relationship. But it's another reason why another cause to be, to practice this austerity, to practice this renunciation, to be determined that you won't do it. So one has to be, one should always stay in association of devotees, from the association of devotees. Otherwise you're being smashed all the time. The senses are smashing you. And then over and above that, we have our program of Shravanam, Kirtan, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, all these nine different processes, which we should be engaged in. Prabhupada said, 24 hours, Krishna consciousness means 24 hours a day. That whatever we're doing, we should be favorable for Krishna consciousness, and we should be absorbed in that as far as possible. That is samadhi. According to how deeply you're absorbed in whatever you're doing. So this is the actual safety for neophyte devotees. You don't have the higher case. Just become absorbed in your service, whatever you're doing. The chanting, you just become absorbed in chanting the holy name. The reading, your hearing, become absorbed in that. You're remembering, meditating on the orders of the spiritual master, the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the qualities of the devotees, and the purpose of human life. And then become fixed up that we're actually saved, because we're turning to Krishna, we're focused on Krishna. Krishna means Krishna's instructions, it means the nine processes of devotional service. We're facing Krishna, we're not being We're not in Maya, there's no karma, but still those senses may be coming in because they're like serpents, they're always. So the idea is to be focused as much as possible, and whatever we're doing, so there's no time for the senses, no free time for the senses to wander. This is your perfection in samadhi. If you're so engaged in devotional service, then there's just no time. But that has to be done forcefully, because it's austerity. We're doing things that one should be expected to perform activities that one normally wouldn't like to do for the sake of the spiritual master, and give up activities or things that one normally would like to do. This is part of your austerity. The idea is to keep the senses, to be engaged in these devotional processes all the time. Because as soon as you're not, then it's always, there's Maya, there's nothing else. As soon as you're not engaged in these devotional processes, then what else is there but Maya? So then you start to focus on Maya in different ways. So that is our real shelter. We have to believe that, we have to be convinced of that. This is the only shelter is devotional service to Krishna. That includes his Krishna, his devotees, his main fame, qualities, pastimes, and all the mission of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mission of the Guru. If we're doing that, insulated. So that, right? We're actually insulated from Maya while you're engaged. But as soon as you stop that engagement again, Maya. Because our base is Maya, after all, and we think we're in the material world. We think we're these bodies, we think we're the doers. So that's how actually we've been conditioned so long, we think this is the reality, that I'm this body, and I'm the doer. So that's the, naturally when there's nothing else, you'll go back to that situation, I am this body, and I'm the doer of the activities. This is your foundation is Maya, that which is not, because you're not the body, you're not the doer, but we've been conditioned for so many births into thinking that, but this is a natural place where you come back to, the natural base. This is Maya. So as soon as there's no service, as soon as we stop that service, then again, in the material world. So this is called austerity. At the go. But the austerity here is much nicer than any other process for self-realization. It's not so austere because, you know, dancing, chanting, taking prasad, you're not so austere after all. Hearing about Krishna, hearing about Krishna's pastime, and associating with other devotees, and doing some kind of work, which you've got to do anyway. So even if you face Maya, you've got to work. So the same things are going on. It's not that your lifestyle is going to be much different, right? Now the consciousness changes, and as a result of this, we're not collecting any more dross or Maya. So we become more free, more light, more liberated, more happy, and with liberating that contentment is there. And one becomes satisfied, peaceful. So then even if the senses do go here and there, then you're not much. Yeah, what an endeavor to chase those senses. Hard work to go. Don't worry about it. You know, you've got some satisfaction. It's hard work to get sense. It's very hard work, sense gratification. That adrenaline and all the anxiety and the endeavor. You've been fasting for a long time. Such an endeavor to do things sometimes, right? Or think about things sometimes. Right? Even to think about Maya or such a pain. Because if we eat nice prasad and healthy and then if we too much, overeat. But we notice that. That's what these other designing fast austerities like fasting and things like that. That's what they're for. To give you a glimpse of what it's like in not normal conditions. That, you know, the body is, you're stuck in this thing, and without food it gives you a lot of, it's not a very comfortable place. because we keep on eating and sleeping, we don't think it's so bad. But these austerities are for that. You come to the gross reality, you're stuck in this bunch of earth, water, fire, air, mucus, bile, hair, stool, urine, fingernails, bellows. And then within that, now you're trying to squeeze some pleasure from the subtle and gross platforms. So that's what those austerities for, like fasting and not sleeping and things like that. You can't do it all the time because you can very hard. But the other austerity means just engaging in the service of Krishna, and there is a lot of pleasurable activities. If you think about it, it must be the most pleasurable thing to be Krishna conscious. It's the most natural thing. So it must be the most pleasurable thing also. In our conditioned state, we think this is austerity, giving up sense gratification, and we think that's austerity. But in reality, sense gratification is so big, so much trouble, so much pain, so much disease, so much endeavor. And as a result, you're not satisfied and you come back and try again in another body. So that's the option. So the two things are there all the time, and we make that conscious choice. So nobody's going to make the choice for you. You can pray for mercy, you can pray for the devotees, but you've actually got to do it no matter who you are, what kind of devotees you need, what kind of guru you have. They're more or less saying the same thing. Nobody's going to do the work for you. Don't try and find the super, super guru who's just going to blame. This is the lazy bums philosophy. You find an unalloyed guru devotee who's just go there and zap, and then all your troubles, you don't have to do any work, right? No, it's not like that. They give you the same process. In this lifetime, at least, of course, at the end of the lifetime, by their mercy, you know, even if we're still full of so many faults, we can go back to God. That's another thing. But while you're here, you have to endeavor. Like everything depends on us. We go for Sarana City while we're here, hoping for Kripa City. But that's just a dream. But in the meantime, which we're trying for Sarana City. So we very strictly follow to be engaging samadhi, that means absorbing in activities of Krishna consciousness all the time. Krishna Bhagavatam ki jai, Shivapad ki jai, Rajokam ki jai. After 9 o'clock, for those who have got a service to do. The hell for the higher class, it's also for the lower classes. But there's you can get away with a lot more in the lower class. Like the animals, they don't have any karma. They don't make any sins. But simply people who are just above the animal level, they're hardly human, so they're not so obliged to follow, they don't suffer the consequences that someone in knowledge suffers. Or someone who's in a position, a respectful position in society, suffers because the responsibility goes along with that. So if they misuse that responsibility, then they suffer more. But the Brahmana suffers more than the Vaishya, and he suffers more than the Sudra if he doesn't execute his duty properly. Are they all different? So, but Sudra means civilized. But it's the first step in civilized life. So, but the Sudra should always be thinking, it's better to be a Brahmana. He should be thinking like that. Not that he tries to imitate, but he's. Brahmana means one in the mode of goodness, and Sudra means one in the mode of ignorance. So he should know that it's better to be in the mode of goodness, because so he won't suffer so much there, at least. But that's just on the basic platform, not the philosophical, not the religious, spiritual platform. But he should understand that it's better to be a Brahmana with the mode of goodness. You should think like that. But he has his responsibilities as a sudra. So it's a lot, he's within the Varnashram, so it's also a responsibility there. So also he'll have to suffer. He'll have to, but he won't suffer as much as well, it depends on each individual, but there's more scope for him for sense gratification in the mode of ignorance without being punished. And the higher you come, the more restriction. So the Brahmana has less and less restriction. More and more restriction. More rules to follow than the Kachya, than the Vaishya, than the Sudra. It's with the evolution of life comes responsibility, duty, higher duty. Because as a Vaishya, you're responsible to engage the Sudras also. You're responsible for their welfare. And the Kachya is responsible for the welfare of everyone. And the Brahmanas are also responsible for the spiritual welfare of everyone. But generally, those in the mode of goodness are not much interested in spiritual life. So therefore, the Sudras are just, more or less, just the world. They just assist the other castes. Because generally, they're not so interested in spiritual advancement. But they should know, better to be a Brahmana, better to come from the mode of goodness. It's an easier life. And there's liberation. No, who follows in Varnashram? I mean, good sutras, if you understand the qualities of a sutra, they're also rare in Kali Yuga. Someone who's faithfully serves. They don't accept payment, they just accept service, and they're satisfied by that. Who does it in Kali Yuga? Maybe it's Kali Yuga. There'll be no civilized people. Sorry?
Yes, Kali Yuga is so common. Kali Yuga. Suffer less.
I don't know, I haven't heard, but I was just speculating like that. In Kali Yuga, they should suffer less. If you get to go to hell. Don't take a chance. It's not very long. If only one Kali Yuga. Then it starts and the Sakya Yuga begins again. So. Because at the end of Kali Yuga, we see in the 11th canto, everyone's reduced to that platform of animals. There will be some devotees, of course, but you see in that. People are reduced to the level of animals, fearing the family units disappear. There's only husband and wife, just based on sex principle attraction. who's the toughest? They're running the show. They're the government. Who's the strongest? They harass the people that are working for taxes. You get so disturbed, they go to the forest. It becomes impossible to live. They're hunting each other. There's no food because everyone's in pants. There's no jagger. There's no grains. There's no food. They're spawning children to eat them. All kinds of horrible things. It's just animal again. Same as animal life. That's what it is. That's what they do in the animal kingdom. So that's what happens right at the end. And there's no hope for preaching to these people. So then Kalki comes and except for the devotees, and Sakya Yuga starts. Don't do it again. It just reminds us, we've probably been through all this. But wherever you're born, you think you're born in that, and you think it's not so bad. You think it's hellish to be born in that situation. Is horrible. You're born in it. You think it's normal. And mother and father are like this, and grandfather is like that. You say, yeah, but in the year 2008, it wasn't like this. They lived very nice lives. They lived long time. There was nice food to eat. Nah, that's mythology. I don't believe that. That's mythology. How could it be? How could the man get that big? Come on. Come on. So same way, when we hear about descriptions of Satyayuga, they go. People lived for 100,000 years. And you don't have to plow the ground. You just throw the stuff. And only rains at night. And the weather's perfect. All the time. People grow this tall. And they live this much time. It's just relative to what you're born in. That's your situation. You think that's home. Last one. There's a mystery package appeared on this table. I think there are liberation balls inside. You take one of these, your future is guaranteed. No more half coming back. How do you do? There's one of the guarantees. Tiki da, tiki da.